I'm Justine Grieve with proceduralfairness.org. I'm speaking today with the authors of a study on Spanish speaking at a drug court in Texas, and specifically how the ability to communicate with a judge in Spanish affected participants' perceptions of fairness. That article was written by Dr. Kelly Frayling and Diana Carrion, both of whom are with me today. I think I'll have the two of you introduce yourselves so we can associate a name with a voice.
Sure. I'm Kelly. And I was an assistant professor of criminal justice at Texas A&M International University in Laredo, Texas, until recently. And I just had a job change. I'm currently at Loyola University in New Orleans.
Okay. Diana?
Well, hi, I am Diana, and I have a bachelor's and master's degree in criminal justice from the same university, Texas A&M in Laredo. And since then, I've taught several courses among undergraduate students.
In criminal justice?
Yes, in criminal justice. That's right.
Great. And the title of your article is partially in Spanish, so maybe one of you can say that for me.
Diana, I'm going to let you take this one.
Quiero hablar con usted en español.
And what's that translate to, roughly?
I would like to speak to you in Spanish, Judge.
And it's on the importance of Spanish speaking at a majority Hispanic drug court.
That's right.
Yeah.
So tell me about how you got started on this study. What questions were you asking and what made you start thinking about them?
Well, when we started this research, I had just finished my doctorate and I studied mental health courts as part of that experience. So with this new-ish drug court in Laredo that served drug-involved participants. It had just started in 2009, and we started our research in 2011. So it seemed like the perfect time to get in there and study three things: referrals to the court, the services that were provided to participants, and a variety of outcomes for participants. Did they have less recidivism? Did they have less drug involvement? That sort of thing. And once we were able to make contact with the court administrator and the judge, they invited us in to watch some court sessions as part of our research, as part of getting acclimated and meeting people and this sort of stuff. And during these observations, we noticed that the judge and some participants interacted in English exclusively, some interacted in Spanish exclusively, and some interacted in sort of a mix of English and Spanish, sometimes in moving in between languages in the same sentence. And me, this is Kelly, I'm an outsider to Laredo, and I only speak English fluently, and this exchange to me was fascinating, having spent however many years it took me to get my doctorate and watching other specialty court interactions and watching them exclusively in English and now being in Laredo and seeing this new dynamic between judge and participant. It seemed like a natural question sort of stemming from these observations. Does that ability have any impact on participants' perceptions of the court? And with that, we went sort of above and beyond these standard specialty court questions of referrals, services, and outcomes to add a new dimension to participant perceptions.
So how did you set up the study in terms of methodology, who your subjects were?
So we revised our research focus, like I talked about, and in order to determine more quantitatively, I suppose, if the ability to speak Spanish with a judge was an important piece of their overall perception of the court and what the court was successful in doing for them. We took the participant perception survey that was utilized in the multi-site adult drug court evaluation. So that's this big, giant study that was published, I think, it became available online in 2011 in pieces and fully in 2012. And we used a part of that, as I mentioned, the participant perception survey. We modified that one because the way that the authors of that big study did it was to take baseline 6, 12, and 18-month measures. We didn't have that luxury because we kind of stumbled into that research question. So we modified the survey to give it one time, sort of at one point in time, and to include questions about whether the ability to speak Spanish with the judge was something that was important to participants. So as part of this judge index that's in the survey, we added a question about, does the judge speak Spanish with you when you want or need to? And then we added a similar question in sort of the services part of the survey. So what services are important to your success as a drug court participant? And at the time, the drug court had about 90, 95 participants, and we had about a 35% response rate, which is fairly standard for social science research. And most participants completed the English version of the survey. I'm sure that if listeners are thinking, aha, they only gave an English version, not true. We, of course, had a Spanish version. Diana translated the survey and had it verified, and then the Spanish survey was available as well, so anyone who's interested in seeing our instrument can certainly get in touch with us. Most of the participants, even if they were Spanish speakers or used Spanish with the judge, they decided to fill out the English survey. It's important to note for people that don't know, 95% of people on the radar are of Hispanic ethnicity, and over 90% of people on the radar are fluently bilingual in English and Spanish from childhood. And this demographic profile, it's reflected in the drug court itself. So we are talking about a group that has two languages sort of at their disposal pretty much from birth.
Was that English or Spanish version of the survey as easily available, or did they have to specially request the Spanish one?
Well, when we gave the surveys, I guess I neglected to mention this part. When we gave the surveys, we gave them to the court administrator and asked the court administrator to make the surveys available to drug court participants. And because of her connection with this relatively small drug court, I mean, you know, some drug courts run hundreds, if not thousands, of participants. She was able to identify which participants would be more comfortable with English and Spanish surveys, but we asked her please to go ahead and offer both.
And you said most people were bilingual from childhood, could speak both fluently.
Yes.
So what did you find?
Well, with respect to our research question, we had some interesting findings. Overall, the drug court participants' perceptions of the court were real similar to those in the multi-site adult drug court study, the MADCE study. And they were similar and similarly positive. So in that big study and in our little study, there's a lot of positive perceptions about the court. They're positive perceptions of the judge, their voice in the process, their understanding of the process, how neutral or equally applied the process is, and the dignity and respect that they experience. And when it comes to our specific research question, the ability to speak Spanish directly with the judge when participants wanted or needed to, the people that responded to our survey rated this item real highly, and it was highly rated as a component of their overall experience with the judge and as a service they could access at the court. So this is it viewed two different ways. This is a real positive thing. It's sort of endemic to the judge. It's a special feature about that interaction with the judge, and it's also sort of a service that's provided through the court or by the court just by default of the judge being bilingual. So the ability to speak directly with the judge in the language of choice is important for those positive perceptions of the court. And for us, knowing the literature fairly well, that helps, that those positive perceptions help keep participants engaged in the treatment that's provided by the court. And we know from these research on outcomes for drug court participants that participation in the drug court is associated with reduced recidivism and drug use, so that engagement is all the more important. And this is one piece for this group of drug court participants of keeping engaged or staying engaged.
It sounds like setting up a longitudinal study could be useful as well to track how well that actually does work for reducing recidivism.
Yes, and to see how much it matters over time, if you will. If it's like your first day in drug court and it's really important that you can express yourself in your language of choice, and by the time you hit the 12-month mark, maybe it's a little less important and other things have taken on more salience. That's a good future research direction.
So were those findings surprising to you, or did you more or less expect that outcome?
Diana, do you want to talk a little bit about this? Because you are fluent in English and Spanish, and so you might see it differently than me. Did it surprise you that they rated it so highly?
I do see it differently. As you said earlier, you're an outsider, and I feel like I'm the insider. So I guess I didn't pay too much attention to language in the drug court. So the fact that, you know, drug court participants place so much importance in it, was something that was surprising to me. And the manner in which it can affect recidivism and drug use over time.
So because you could understand both languages, you think you hadn't thought about it as much?
Exactly.
Thought it would be so important?
Right.
Just speaking from my own experience, if you're a monolingual outsider to Laredo or that, I would say pretty much Southern Texas, but certainly Laredo. I mean, it's so fascinating. To watch people switch languages in the same sentence and just keep up a flow of conversation where using words and phrases that are like most meaningful at that moment. That's something that improves, I suppose, the dynamism of that conversation. And to see it in a court setting, a normally sort of sterile court setting, was just fascinating. And so maybe I was less surprised than Deanna was, because I thought it was such a salient thing to be able to do that, to be able to have sort of this extra language in your back pocket, if you will, and knowing the judge could talk with you directly in that language. I had an idea that that would be important, and then the findings sort of bore that out.
So the most interesting thing to me was that a vast majority of these people are completely bilingual and could speak just as well with a judge in English, theoretically, as Spanish, but they still felt it helped their case to be able to speak in Spanish. So why do you think that is? How can you account for that?
I think it has something to do with the options available to talk about or talk through a situation that has the potential to be emotionally charged. And in a court setting, obviously, things aren't going 100% right if you find yourself in a court setting. And so if there's something that maybe way that you haven't complied, with the court requirements, that might be a situation in which, you're feeling strong emotions. Like if a participant fails a drug test and the judge is asking about this in the court session and the court staff are there and there's other participants there and family members around, being able to express the circumstances around that failed drug test or feelings about that failed drug test, regret or shame about that failed drug test, having those two options may make it easier to sort of traverse that situation. The interactions that take the most time in drug court, as you can imagine, are the ones in which a participant hasn't complied with those requirements and gets a sanction. And bilingual participants have two ways to sort of get through these interactions. And bilingual participants, they have two language options sort of on the other side of the coin for taking credit for an accomplishment that might be mentioned in that open court setting. And I think that knowing that option is available even for English speakers, even for participants that are fluent English speakers as well, improves rapport with the judge. And when we were in the court session, I would say that the judge was very reactive with participants in terms of their language of choice. So sometimes English and Spanish were utilized in the same sentence, sometimes exclusively English or Spanish. And that demonstration by the judge of wanting to make those interactions more meaningful by letting the participant choose the language probably improves perceptions of the judge himself and then of the court as a whole.
And I think it may also have something to do with the level of trust and comfort that drug court participants had toward the judge. When court participants can use all the language options for them to better express themselves, that's favorable looking toward the judge. They're comfortable enough to speak to the judge without limiting themselves to just the one language.
How important do you think it is for people to speak with the judge in Spanish directly as opposed to using a translator? Do you know of any research on that, or just from the survey you did or interactions with people at the court, do you have an impression of what the difference might be?
I don't know of any research that focuses on the use of translators or interpreters in specialty courts or in drug courts. We have a colleague that works in the area of the use of interpreters in intelligence interrogation, so trying to get a human intelligence from somebody and how an interpreter influences that dynamic of interrogator and interrogatee. When it comes to specialty courts, though, my impression of the use of interpreters is that they're a necessary and valuable part of court sessions, and we don't want to leave anyone with the impression that we think otherwise. There are thousands of specialty courts in the country, and probably almost all of them would have monolingual judges. And here and there, they may have to rely on an interpreter for Spanish or Vietnamese or Chinese or a variety of other languages so that that participant can be a full participant in the court process. For a court like the one in Webb County, which is Laredo, it's a bit of a strange animal because this population that the court serves is largely bilingual. I mean, almost exclusively bilingual. So a population like that, I think bilingualism on the part of the judge is going to be an important consideration. I think participants' perceptions of the court are improved when they can communicate directly with the judge. And if a specialty court is serving a large bilingual or non-English-speaking population, I think it's going to be worthwhile to talk about finding a judge that is bilingual in English and that other language, the language of the majority participants, and who supports the specialty court concept and format. So bilingualism does not a good drug court judge make. The support for that concept also has to be there.
I agree, because it affects the flow of court sessions. So personally, I attended several drug court sessions, and I observed the manner in which they ran at an appropriate pace, with each drug court participant being allocated the right amount of time with the judge. And the way I saw it is that one aspect that facilitated court sessions was the judge's reliance on his own language adaptability as opposed to using a translator or an interpreter. And it's not to say that the translators are not invaluable. They are. They're certainly a necessary component in any and all courts. But bilingual judges in predominantly Hispanic courts can definitely contribute to their own effectiveness in that respect.
How do you see this study in relation to the concepts or principles of procedural fairness, voice, respect, neutrality, trust?
Well, one of the things that I think is so cool about the results of this study is that it sort of gives us a new avenue down which to explore procedural justice. The way that we framed our questions about the importance of the ability to speak Spanish with the judge when participants want or need to can also be conceived of as having a way to have a voice in the court process. So we talked about it in terms of sort of a judge feature, a feature of your interaction with the judge, and then a service that the court provides, but we can ask about it in a new way. So this, we can ask about it as part of having that voice in the court process. And maybe that's where a question like this is better captured, or the meaning of the results are better captured in framing the question that way. So one of the cool things about our results, I think, is that it gives us another piece of procedural justice or procedural fairness to talk about.
You mentioned earlier that you don't think being bilingual is necessarily necessary for a judge in one of these courts. But should people who want to be judges in Texas take these findings into consideration? Should people in law school add some Spanish courses to their curriculum so they can better interact with the people they'll be dealing with?
I think this is the toughest question because I don't want to leave anyone with the impression that we think that monolingual judges are in any way deficient at these specialty courts. This group is the one that, spearheaded the specialty court movement. These judges are invaluable to getting the court set up and running, and their commitment to the concept and the format is crucial to their success. So monolingual judges all over the country are just an indispensable piece of our specialty court and, in fact, our criminal justice system now. But for somebody who knows that they would like to be a judge in an area where there is a large segment of the population that is fluency in a second language other than English, where that's common or where that predominates, I don't think it hurts anything to try to learn that language if it's not already spoken. And just from our research, it shows that participants rate the ability to speak Spanish for the drug court judge in Webb County, where Laredo is, highly, and they rate it more highly than other aspects of their interaction with the judge. And so these other aspects come from this real standard participant perception survey. You throw in this new one, and all of a sudden you have a new sort of high-ranking part of that judge experience. And so that tells us that the way that specialty court judges have been comporting themselves over these two decades that they've been in existence, that's working. People are satisfied with the amount of time the judge spends with them and the way he or she remembers their case. That's great, the standard stuff. But here we have a sort of new element, or a potentially new element of, first of all, research inquiry, and second of all, something that bolsters participants' perceptions of their court experience. And so if somebody is interested in becoming a judge in an area like that, it's definitely not going to hurt anything to brush up on some of the language of the folks that live there.
I agree. Judges who are monolingual English speakers aren't less capable or able to handle Hispanic specialty courts than are bilingual judges, but it is an added benefit, especially in an environment that can be unsettling for a lot of people, interacting with a judge who is, you know, able to and willing to use one's preferred language. It can alleviate a lot of tension experienced by these drug court participants. So for the judges who intend to work in South Texas, it's definitely worthwhile to consider the importance of language and the manner in which it can affect the comfort level of participants.
So what do you think it means for courts? What practices or policies should courts put in place based on these findings?
Well, I think our findings speak more to the future than to the present, if you will. I think that one of the things that a change we can definitely see coming, sort of a two-pronged change we can see coming, first of all, is the demography of the United States is changing. And Hispanics are going to be the dominant ethnic group in the U.S. in just a few decades. And based on numbers alone, based on those numbers alone, we can expect that drug courts and other specialty courts are going to have more Hispanic participants. And that's going to be true particularly, I think, at first, in places like Southern California, as well as Arizona and New Mexico and Texas and the states that share a border with Mexico, and then more widely Central and South America. So we've got that demographic change that's coming, and that we can expect that those participants are going to have language needs in these courts. And then the second piece that we have, the well-documented success of these courts means that we can see more of them coming. I mean, it's reasonable to expect that a successful thing is going to continue to get funded. So we've got a greater number of Hispanics, presumptively bilingual Hispanics, in the future, and then we have more courts in the future. So the confluence of these two things, it's likely that some of these new courts are going to have majority Hispanic populations. And especially in these courts, the word we want to get out there is just be considerate of or be mindful of the judge that's chosen for these courts or the judge that helps to spearhead these courts, because research shows now that being able to speak Spanish and English with the judge is something that improves participants' perceptions of the court, and we can extend through the other great research on drug courts and specialty courts that's out there. Being able to stay engaged with the process leads to better, more positive outcomes. So we think our research has a bit of a future focus.
Other than the judges and the court administrators, is there anyone who you would like to see this research that you think there could be policy changes or benefits to getting the word out there?
Well, the short answer is tenure committees. No. besides that group, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, as I'm sure most listeners know, that's the group that sort of funds these specialty courts and helps get them up and running into their sustainable part of the local criminal justice system. So that group, BJA, and the National Association of Drug Court Professionals. And what we hope is that they'll think about our findings and our recommendations in the planning for new courts. Like I said, there's no need to rush and replace every great monolingual judge with a bilingual one. That's not what we're advocating. But when it comes to planning future courts and careful consideration of who are the likely participants, if it turns out that there's the likely participants have fluency in a language other than English, I think it bears consideration now based on our findings that the judge also have fluency in that second language. We hope other specialty court researchers, like the ones that conducted the multi-site adult drug court evaluation, that MADCE study, will see our research and sort of think about how to replicate it or fold it into future studies that engage in a big drug court evaluation, and think about other ways to sort of ask this question think about different nuanced ways, and with their access to courts all over the country, maybe identify other courts where it's not English and Spanish, but let's say it's English and Vietnamese or something like that, and take our work in a new direction.
I've been speaking with Kelly Frayling and Diana Carrion, the authors of an article on the importance of Spanish at a majority Hispanic drug court. That article will appear in Criminal Justice Policy Review, hopefully soon. Is it later this year?
I think it will be later this year, this 2015.
All right. Is it available anywhere else at this time?
Right now, it is on the Criminal Justice Policy Review online first portion there. But if anyone from SAGE is listening, don't get mad. You can email me, and I will gladly, happily send you a copy. My email is kl.frayli@loyno.edu.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot to both of you for joining me. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much. You too, Justine.
Thank you.